visiting a Canadian ghost town.
They left a little note on the cupboard door. Take anything you want. It's all free now. We'd appreciate you leaving the cabin itself in good shape. We may be back someday. Best wishes and good health, the Jensens.
A now abandoned village is a metaphor for another way of life, a way of life that's disappearing. I'm Susan Barnett, and this is 51% The Women's Perspective. Summer vacation season is over, but let's take the next half hour to slow down just one more time. I haven't spent a lot of time by the sea this year, but I've been doing a lot of reading, immersing myself in stories of the sea and the people who made their livings there. It's a world that's vanishing. This week, we're going back to hear the story of one small Canadian village, a village whose residents voted to leave. Despite its geographical isolation, the community of Grand Britt had been home to many Newfoundland families since the early 1800s. Now, the ferry no longer runs, no roads lead there, and the place is empty. Following the collapse of the cod fishery in 1992, life in fishing communities across Newfoundland began to deteriorate. Survival in Grand Britt proved increasingly difficult. It was only accessible by boat and ferry. The town school closed in 2007 when the last elementary school-aged children graduated. The Canadian government offered a financial incentive for people to move, and the community voted to resettle in larger towns at the end of June 2010. This is a story about a rural world that is disappearing, a story about an increasingly urbanized world, and a tender story about the meaning of home. Here is part one of producer Jerzy Slavichinsky's documentary, Last Summer in Grand Britt.
On your left, a lake, a waterfall. To your right, an empty church. Below you, a harbor, fishing stages, and the ocean. Barren, rocky terrain. No trees. People cut them down long ago to build houses and fishing boats. You can only get here by boat. The same today as it was 100 years ago. One, two, three, four. Five, six, seven. You can count seven lights in the dusk. Home generators and propane gas cylinders provide light for seven small houses in the community. There are wires to the houses, but the power was taken away weeks ago. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Enter. They've come back to see their homes one more time. Old neighbors sitting in a circle. Drinking beer, eating ham and potato salad. Happy birthday, Joe.
You're showing
He has started his new life in Burgio. His neighbors have moved to Port au Basque, Rose Blanche, and other places along the shore. But right now, everyone is together.
You scared now.
This is home.
Skip that, Bonnie.
I like the isolation. I like the no vehicles and stuff. It just gave you a sense of freedom.
How are you doing, brother?
Peaceful, quiet people. It's nice. It's home. Always will be. You can't make a living here. That's why this place is closing down now, right? That's why this place is closing down now. I mean, all the kids used to leave, and I don't know, they get out and see what else is out there. And, you know, they don't come back, right? Because, well, this is a fishing community. And there's no fish now like there was years ago, right?
You'll always find a welcome. Greetings you won't forget. That little part of heaven. The town we call Brentwood.
Anyway, this house is empty now. They left a little note on the cupboard door. Take anything you want. It's all free now. We'd appreciate you leaving the cabin itself in good shape. We may be back someday. Best wishes and good health, the Jensens. They were the last owners. So now she's emptied out. I guess it used to be two bedrooms. They sold some of the things that are here. Like, I think some of the beds and stuff went, you know, people wanted to buy them. And people have come in and taken a few things as well that they wanted. It doesn't really look like that somebody was here a short while ago, that's for sure. It looks like it's been abandoned for years. But I guess it doesn't take much. See old pictures on the walls and things that people didn't want left behind, old blankets and old dressers and an old armchair and a shelving unit, a few lamps. The oil stove is still here, and electric stove and fridge. Cupboards, a few dishes and things left around. That's about it. Curtains.
The party is over. Only a few boats still moored in the harbor. Some houses are padlocked. Some have boards nailed over their doors and windows. At the red house by the church, freshly washed clothes hang on a line. Cooking smells from the kitchen.
Do you like fish?
Okay. A lot of bones in it.
This is Sheila.
Codhead stew it's going to be. That's an old tradition in Grand Bret.
And Jerry.
This is carrot and turnip. Diced up carrot and turnip.
We had fish many, many ways. Fish and brews, stewed fish, fried fish, deep fried fish. Cod au gratin.
Tongues and cheeks.
Cheeks and tongues. It was always cooked a different way, so it always tasted different every time you cooked it. And then we had our dry fish. We hated dry fish as kids. We hated it. We didn't like dry. Oh, fish, we don't want that. And then Mom would make fish cakes, and we couldn't get enough. We wouldn't eat the dry fish, but we couldn't get enough fish cakes.
I was on a ship and we left Halifax that morning. I went on watch and the mate said, "You were drinking last night?" I said, "No." He said, "You were." He said, "You got tattoos on your arm." But, you know, I had got two tattoos and that was it. That made me a sailor then. Oh, this one here is a cross. Memories of my mother and father. And this one, I don't know. It's a ship sinking, sailor's grave or something like that. So all sailors had these. This one is put on with the. This one's put on with a needle a guy on the ship put it on. This one here. But, you're young and foolish. Didn't know any better. But I see a lot of people, educated people with them on today, or supposed to be educated. A lot of the entertainers. I don't even know what's on there now. I don't even know they're there.
Didn't get my clothes all dry today. Had to hang it all around the house because I have no dryer now. Because the generator won't run the dryer. Because the dryer is 210 and our generator is 110, is it, Jerry?
220.
Sorry.
This used to be her father's, the house on the hill. She grew up here, went away to work. But every summer since, she has come back.
You want to be here on a moonlight night when it glistens off the water. It's really beautiful. I sit in my bedroom and I just stare at the water and think, oh my, why did I ever leave? But I was too young, no mean the difference. We would have had to leave now anyway, so it doesn't make any difference, does it?
Up next, part two of an intimate look at a disappearing world. If you missed part of this show or want to share it, visit the 51% archives at WAMC.org. This week's show is number 1262. In 2010, the fishing village of Grand Britt in Newfoundland officially closed. The power was cut, the homes were abandoned, and the few families who still lived there boarded the ferry for the last time and left. The cod fishing industry that had sustained them had collapsed. There are no roads, no way to access the outside world except by boat. The Canadian government offered to pay for them to move, and the town voted to resettle. Their friends and neighbors are now scattered to the winds, and their ancestors were left behind in the windswept cemetery. Let's continue with Jerzy Slavichinsky's documentary, Last Summer in Grand Britt.
With a welcome for you and me, such peace and tranquility, just to walk upon the road and listen to people as the news of the world is told. You'll always find a welcome, a greeting you won't forget. That little part of heaven, the tiny town of Grand Britt.
My name is Bernie Sheaves. I am from Portobello, Newfoundland. I wrote the song. I spent all night getting a chorus for that song because I wanted a chorus to fit Grand Britt, you know, the way the people were, you know, that little part of heaven piece in the song. And, you know, I just couldn't get it. But around 5:30 that morning, I got it. So the song is sung in D. It was a happy song. It's sad what happened, but it was a happy song. That I sing this song almost everywhere I go. And, you know, they call it the Grand Britt song. And I was a joy to write it. It was, yes.
When I was a small boy, I remember laying in bed counting them, and there was 250 people here, you know. Me and some other friends, we used to count them. It was 250. It was a lot of children here at that time, and had a lot of good friends, but they're moved away after me, and a lot of them have passed on now in the last few years. But, yeah, there was a lot of people here then. It started to go down in the 50s. It started to go down. Well, you see, most of us had to go away to make a living. If you didn't want to go fishing, you had to go away to make a living. So most of us went to different cities and towns. After I got 17, 18, I went to Halifax and I joined the ship. While I was on the ship, I met a bunch, some of the fellows from here, my hometown here. We were going on vacation. They said, well, why don't you come home and have a look at it? So I did come, and that's when I met my wife.
I remember he came down on a boat, and he was a handsome-looking guy, really handsome-looking.
I was over the store, and I was coming over the road, and I saw this nice-looking girl come along the road, and I said, oh, my God. And she spoke to me, and that night it was dark out. We met one another, walking back and forth, but that's about as far as it went then.
He had a checkered jacket on, a light checkered jacket, and a pair of khaki pants. And he had blonde hair. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was a handsome-looking dude, let me tell you.
She was wearing a white blouse and a sort of a flower dress, but it was a long one then. It was no mini dresses at that time. We sat on a church bridge there and talked, and that's how we ended up together anyway. We've been together for 51 years, so we must have done something good.
One, two, three. You can sit on the church bridge and count them. Three houses now, their lights glowing against the darkness.
At nighttime now in Grand Britt, we have no lights on the poles. It is very beautiful. I can sit in my kitchen window and look out at the arbor, as we call it, all the stars. And then when you go out on your patio, you can really see the shooting stars and the stars and the moon. And it is so beautiful, and it's so great to be home.
Then the lights go off, and the stars go on. In the air, you smell salt and fish. Sunrise. Clear sky.
Beautiful this morning. This is the kind of weather everybody likes to be a sailor.
The sea underneath you is quiet like a bathtub. Blue, gray, dark blue, green. The water changes color every time you look at it.
Nice one.
Put it down, Lefty.
Now I gotta get one.
Jerry and Wayne are hauling their fishing lines.
I lost mine. Ooh, that's too small. The reason why there's no fish, well, they're overfished and destroyed by big trawlers, foreign trawlers, different things, and the food chain is even gone. The capelin, the herring, the mackerel is not all gone, but they're pretty scarce. Not very much left. And no, there's no fish in the... What fish you do get, they're small ones. One time you could come out here and within an hour or so you could
you know, whatever your limit was. There was no limit at that time, but you could come out here and get what you wanted. But that is a thing of the past.
Hallelujah.
One time there were millions of them. Now, you are allowed to get 15 fish per boat.
We need a boat to survive there. That's our biggest problem. To get from Grand Brit to La Poyle, you have to have a boat, or you have to know somebody that's got a boat and is willing to take you when you want to go. Oh, to come back here now, we have to bring all our supplies that we need. Milk, juice, frozen meats, canned food, bread, which I can make bread, and I have a wood stove, so I make my own bread, and I can also cook a chicken in my stove. And the rest I can cook on a hot plate or whatever. But I am very lucky to have a wood stove that I can bake in, because I love to bake.
We went to Grand Brit not really knowing what to expect. When we got there, on the wharf, that's where we set our equipment up, and we started playing at 9 o'clock. And let me tell you, I have played in many places. I think that was one of the finest nights I ever played in my life. The people were just overwhelmed. They weren't strangers. They were just friends you just met. And they were perfect people. Man, it was so peaceful.
Oh, my God. See the old organ there? That's pump organ they used to play. I think there was only one person could play it, though. We had to come here every Sunday. There was a minister, and the older people used to really sing, and we weren't allowed to laugh in church, but we did sometimes as kids, you know. Anyway. But it's empty now. It's really empty. Weird now to what it was, even last summer when I was home.
And I guess, you know, the cost of the transportation from Rose Branch to Grand Brit, I guess the government figured, and the power, and the place getting smaller by the day, the government figured it's better to resettle than to try to pay all the money to keep them there.
Like the organ.
The old church organ. Nobody would mind if you try it.
Oh. Used to work good when I was a kid.
Grand Brit is now an abandoned village on the southern coast of Newfoundland. That's our show for this week. Thanks to Katie Britton for production assistance. Our theme music is by Kevin Bartlett. This show is a national production of Northeast Public Radio. Our executive producer is Dr. Alan Shartok. If you'd like to hear this show again or visit the 51% archives, go to our website at wamc.org. If you'd like to connect with us on Facebook, you can find 51% there. And you can also email me at sbarnett@wamc.org. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another edition of 51%, The Women's Perspective.